Good morning, Jerry.
This is my brother John.
Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah, I'm glad you cleared your throat.
We're
trying to do that the next time before the show starts, please, Mr. Producer.
Is that important to you? Really?
You're right. I am. I'm trying to be the producer. Mission impossible.
Mission impossible. With
dear.
Yeah. Oh, what a great song. Great theme song. I like television theme songs.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so here we go. I've got 74 degrees. It's 4 miles an hour. The wind out of the southeast. It's now a seven. What time is it now? Well, it's 8:20 or so. Yeah. And it's Saturday morning. Yeah. Waning moon. A waning move. Moon. And we've got heavy, terrible humidity, John. I don't want to say it out loud what it is. It'll bum me out.
Well, it's 67. Just got done raining. And it's going to rain a little bit later, off and on. Cloudy. Some sun. So it's okay. I mean, yesterday rained a lot. And I dodged a few drops on my bike. Came out of it relatively dry. And we're going to have the marathon tomorrow. And there may be some rain. Who knows?
Holy cow.
45,000 strong.
Wait, 45,000 people are going to be running?
Yeah, running their asses off. That's for sure. And I'll get a chance to see them. I love to watch them. That's one of my favorite days.
How close do they get to your place?
Three streets over. They're on LaSalle.
LaSalle?
Yeah. They come up LaSalle and they actually come back. They come back well. So, I mean, I can.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wells? They come back Wells?
So, I mean, I'm LaSalle. I'm probably 4 miles in. Wells, I'm about maybe 11 miles in.
How many miles are we talking about?
It's a marathon, 26.2.
I did not know that. See? I did not know that was a standard thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's going to be flat.
Yeah, that's good. That's what people like to come here to qualify for Boston, so they can get a PR, personal record.
Oh, not a Puerto Rican.
No, not that kind. Although there are some PRs that are going to run, I'm sure.
I hope.
Yeah.
Are they running? Are they running from a hurricane? That's the question. Or FEMA? Maybe they're running from FEMA.
Yeah.
They're probably running from Donald Trump.
It's fun. He's
throwing a towel and they're running, going out for a pass. See, that's me trying to forget who's president, and everything else.
See,
associated.
I forgot.
Uh-oh. I fucked up the show. I fucked up the show. The producer is fucking up.
Forget it. Come on. What are you wearing?
Very little.
It's good.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm wearing your laundry.
It does. I'm wearing the red, newly washed. The red.
Ooh, I got number two shirt, the Technicolor number two shirt, the Bro Show.
I'm wearing the Ale House April 21st with the set on back and the whole works. And my brother and I on the back. I forget that because I don't look at the back somehow. Imagine that.
Yeah, well, sometimes what I have to do is I have to basically put the shirt down here and then at the last minute put it on and take a look at the front and back and hope I can remember what's on the back so that I can tell somebody when we get on the show, but that doesn't always work.
Doesn't always work.
Because sometimes not able to remember. It happens.
No. To you or me? No. No. Together? Together we're worse.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be better. You know, they say, between two of us, we have a brain.
Yeah, one brain, yeah.
No. No, we go down. We have less than a brain.
Yeah, there's synergy here.
No, not at all. It's anti-synergy.
Yeah.
The worst brain prevails.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Sounds like sibling rivalry. Let's move on.
I'm sad.
I got a shirt. We got a shirt.
I'm sad. Oh, where do they get the shirts? Shirt.bro.show. You can go there and not buy a shirt. Don't buy these shirts. Okay? Because it's a lot of work for me personally. And I'm tired, okay? I'm just tired.
You know what you're tired of? You're tired of trying to design the latest shirt.
I am. I'm exhausted.
Which is Yeah, it's just kind of beating you up so bad because I've given you Mission Impossible to do.
Dun, 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 dun.
There it is again.
Yeah, bongos. Okay. Cue the bongos. There's the flute.
Okay, oh, you've got such a tough life, a tough job. Everything's
sad. I'm fucking sad.
You should be.
And you know why.
You're not sad. You're pitiful.
Well, I'm also sad. They're not mutually exclusive.
Mm. Okay, you're right.
I'm sad. And I'll give you a hint why. You ready? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I almost fell asleep. Okay, here's the hint. Here's the hint. Pretty, 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 pretty.
Bagazoo?
That's it.
Oh, dear. Yeah. The day the music died, just died again. Mm.
This is a sad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I remember how old she was when she passed because for some reason, thanks to my cancer medication, I remember numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, very helpful. Mm. So anyways, John, you kind of surprised me on this one because when we talked about this just 2 days ago, you had info on who she is, and you kind of blew my mind, okay?
Well, okay, we're talking about rock and roll icon Buddy Holly's favorite, or his most popular song, Peggy Sue.
Yeah.
And of course, Buddy Holly is the one who was in the crash February 3rd, 1959, the day the music died, with Richie Valens and the Big Bopa speaking.
Good one, good one.
So we've, so
I needed that. I did that. I'm starting to cry.
Where did this,
so
where did this song title come from? How did we come up with Peggy Sue?
Don't ask me.
Well, it seems that this was we have a Buddy Holly and the Crickets. That was the backup group from Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
And one of the Crickets, Jerry Allison, he was a drummer. He was pitching his girlfriend at the time, who later became his wife, Peggy Sue. And her name is Peggy Sue Allison was at the time. She's divorced. But the bottom line is, the woman who the song was named after, Peggy Sue, passed away just a few days ago. So it's just sort of like ending another chapter in this incredible, rock, legend.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It is sad. But as I recall, that was not the original person in the song. She was a substitute.
Yeah. I can't remember. I'm trying. Oh, Cindy Lou was going to be the original.
Yeah.
And that was
yeah.
Buddy Holly's niece.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to, what he was, Allison was interested in kind of, I guess what he wanted to do is he wanted to impress this woman that he was going with, or maybe trying to get her. I don't know what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
But he felt that he could impress her by basically getting the song renamed rather than Cindy Lou to Peggy Sue. And so that's the story we're going to go with. Now, whether it's the truth or not, that's what we're going with.
Who knows? Who knows?
Now, later I'm going to dive deeply into my own, because I've got this book. Wow. This what? Buddy Holly biography. It's like 350 pages of Buddy Holly. Now, it's a guy who died, in his early 20s. But, the legend continues. And so there's at least 4 pages on this wonderful lady in the book. So I got to dive deep.
Whoa.
But I can't do that now. It could be dark, so I didn't want to take a chance.
You learned your lesson with the Marilyn Monroe book, didn't you?
Yeah, jeez, I finally finished that sucker. But!
But
that was my 11th book.
Yeah.
And guess what I did? I just got another book catalog and I have found number 12.
That's kind of dangerous, isn't it?
It's dangerously close to 13, but I'm beginning to think I think I can do it. The reviews are really good on this one. So I got it on my list of
boys and girls, boys and girls. Okay. Just a minute, John, please. Boys and girls. You have to work with me on this. This is my brother, John. He's in peril. His soul is in peril. The darkness may overcome him. So close your eyes and say 3 times and then clap your hands. John will not go into the darkness. Okay, go ahead. We'll just wait for them. Now, okay, that's good. Clap your hands three times.
I'm clapping two fingers.
You're not involved, okay?
No, I just...
You're the subject. Supportive. You're the subject. You're the guy we're supporting.
Really?
My brother is you.
In other words,
yeah.
I need help?
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize that. Thanks.
Of course you do. The darkness may overcome you. Because look what happened with Marilyn, and you're on the edge of the abyss, my friend. You're walking the razor's edge.
Oh dear. Okay.
You're a 72-year-old. Are you 72?
Wait, I'm 71. Don't make me sound like I'm an oldster.
I was going by your date of inception. I'm sorry. Okay, so 70.
That is so weird.
What?
Just stick with the normal. Don't show how abnormal you are. Like thinking about that...
That's a good one. I like that. Oh, I didn't know you were going to be funny today. That's good. I like that. That's really good. Yeah, okay. That's really good. Oh, that's let's just forget that whole thing. Yeah. John, we got a pretty cool sponsor.
You know, I didn't think it was cool when you brought it up, but I'm getting sucked into it. Okay.
Did you say okay or okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Because the sponsor is Beer Maker. Beer, BEERMKR.
Yeah.
Just so you can find it. It's the all-in-one craft beer brewing machine, and we'll talk about it a little later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very excited about it, and I don't drink beer.
You could enjoy the beer making, because what you get is you get some good smells out of it.
You do. And, you know, the people who live downstairs do drink beer. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
So what you could do is you could talk them into getting this item. Maybe it may come, we'll talk about it later. But I think that's a good idea. Then what you can do is the smell of the beer will rise up and you'll be there to smell it. Mm, good. Would you please open your window when you make beer, please?
They don't have to.
Mm.
The smells in their kitchen somehow end up in our apartment, and I can't follow the path that it gets there, but I think it might be the air ducts, you know, intake,
Okay.
But anyways, we know if they do it anywhere downstairs, we'll smell it. Don't worry about it. We're good.
So, do we have any follow-up items?
John, we have three gangbuster follow-up items, starting with, and really, people, I think, should prepare themselves for this. Because this one this rocked me a little bit. How about you?
At the beginning, it sounds good, but then you start thinking about it, and before you know it, there's a little pain here.
Yeah, there is.
So,
are we going to talk about it though?
Yeah, I think I'll start it off.
Thank you.
We have talked about the fact that there is a wonderful animal that was featured, Jeffrey the giraffe. He's a mascot for Toys R Us, and when Toys R Us decided to fold, probably the viral picture, the picture that just spread all over, was a picture of Jeffrey with a little suitcase waving as he said, so long, goodbye, farewell. And everybody, it just tugged at you. I had to be included in that group. So we did a follow-up on Jeffrey, and we were able to take that and we thought we had a happy ending because we found out that the San Antonio Zoo, which is a part of a federation of zoos that's interested in the preserving giraffes and keeping that species from hitting the endangered list, was saying we're here, we have a home, we have a home for Jeffrey. We feel that he can be promote this wonderful cause to make sure that giraffes will be around on Earth. So, happy ending. Not now.
Not really.
We find out initially, then here's what happens. I'm going to give you the grubby, greedy part of this story. The fact is that we've got these intellectual properties, as lawyers would call them. And Jeffrey is not a human.
You're right.
Go ahead.
I have to say, warning here. Kids, anytime you hear those two words, intellectual property, that is such a bad sign. That doesn't mean anything good for anybody. I've never been in a meeting or a lunch or anything where those two words are spoken and something good happens.
Go ahead, Jeffrey John. Becomes an intellectual property. That's
no,
what he is.
No shit.
So while they are in the process of the bankruptcy for Toys R Us, part of that bankruptcy is to liquidate the company. And they get to the point of liquidating the intellectual properties. And all of a sudden, these dumbbells. Oh, wait a minute. This Jeffrey, he might be worth something.
Right.
Maybe what we ought to do is we ought to think about how we can abuse this wonderful mascot so we can make more money. So what they do is they cancel the bankruptcy auction.
Yep.
They decide that they're going to reorganize.
Yep.
And no longer have retail stores, but have a line of toys called Jeffrey's toolbox or whatever. In other words, idea of taking Jeffrey and make that a brand of toys, Jeffrey the Giraffe toys, that they will then use. They'll make the toys and they'll wholesale distribute, and they get out of the retail business, and that's the idea they come up with. Now, what about Jeffrey? What
first
about
all,
the animal? What about the mascot?
This is making me cry, okay? But that's not a problem. This is the 42nd, excuse me, I got a list here, episodes that I've cried in, and I still keep podcasting, and no one can really tell that much except for the sniffing.
Yeah.
But you just did something for me. Okay, John, and I hope everyone else experienced this. You turned my sadness into rage. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's better.
Yeah, that way you're on the road to recovery because now you feel the cause.
I do.
Because what are they doing right now? They don't even have the reorganization going. And then what do? They say, Jeffrey, get your ass on the road. You got to start pitching your brand. He's already been at the toy convention. The Toys Association has a convention, and I'm going to post a picture. And what they did is they took Jeffrey, put a cape on him, and what it says back from vacation. So in other words, the retired wonderful giraffe who was going to get an opportunity to do something that was good,
noble and good, experience freedom.
All of a sudden, they just take that away from him. They say, by the way, giraffe, you know, you're supposed to be in retirement. Get your ass over here. You're going to have to work again.
Indentured
so these slave
servitude.
Masters, yes, exactly.
Indentured servitude.
So now what we've got is we've got a bunch of money-grubbing investors, these are us, who are abusing a mascot. I don't know where this is going to end. I just hope that there's enough people out there that realize that this is a worthwhile cause. You know, what I've done is I'm able to take, I have an interest in mascots, as you all are aware of.
You?
And I have,
you.
Yes, and I have an interest in animals because the Center for Humans and Nature. And it's
right.
Really, I find it very good when I can kind of take those two concepts and I can bring them together like we were doing with the mascot promoting the real animal giraffe. And I thought, holy mackerel, this is really good.
Plus, my backyard. My backyard. He would have been in San Antonio, which is just an hour from me.
Yeah. So in other words, and to see this whole concept just blow up in my face is just so disgusting.
I agree. So let's turn that smile upside down. John, speaking of the Center for Humans and Nature, you, my friend, are now a published author.
Yes.
In the field of humans and nature.
Right. I'm now one of the crew. I'm one of the staff. I'm a contributor.
Yes.
I'm allowed now to come to staff meetings.
Yes. Required.
And usually when I go to staff meeting, they'd look at me and I think they'd say to me, okay, what do you have to say? And I said, well, I listened. I think this meeting we just had, it serves the charitable purpose of your organization, and therefore you can run it through even my sandwich too.
Wow.
That's usually what I do.
You know,
now
usually
what happens,
usually you're like Pete in Moneyball. You're like, they go, what's his name? Goes, Brad Pitt goes, snaps his finger and points and goes, Pete, and then Pete gives the answer. You're that's who you are.
I am.
Which is, you're kind of like Jeffrey a little bit. I hate to say it, but they don't care what you think. They just want the fucking numbers, and that's starting to piss me off too. But now, okay, now I'm calming down because you are now being respected
Yes, because now what happens is I'm invited to meetings with actually people from the outside. They'll have like collaboration move with some other nature type. And guess what? I'm invited to the meeting. Mm. And I'll find that maybe when my certain subject, which happens to be the general category is birds, and my specific interest right now is in pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And when something comes up about birds, everybody looks to me. And I'm
nervously,
Yeah.
Because why, John?
Because they don't know what the hell I'm going to say. And it could be a little off.
It could be a lot off.
This is delicious. One day they're talking about seagulls.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they look at it and I said, and then the guy from public television who's there to talk, he looks at me and says, okay. And I said, yeah, you know, the 10th player on the field for the Cubs.
John, you got to be careful with that. Be careful.
I know.
You can't talk anymore. My brother can't say any more about that subject. Please don't ask.
To be continued.
Yes.
What can I say?
Okay. All right. So, yes, you got published. And where can the kids – we'll have a link. We have a link to that.
Yeah, we have a link. It's, it's called the – it's a blog. It's called the City Creatures Blog. Mm-hmm. And the Gavin Van Horn was the one who was nice enough to, and I got to give some shout outs to several
people. Go ahead.
I've got to give a shout out to Gavin, who's the one who basically edited with his wife. And I found out from the rest of staff when his wife gets involved, she used to be the editor for a center. When she gets involved, you are getting the real deal. So I got to give him, both of them a great team that helped me with the editing, enhanced the article. I feel good about what they did. They gave me some edits, and I just looked at them. And I said, this is very, very good.
Well, I know they're good because when they were going through the edit process with you, they used the magic word with you, didn't they?
What is that?
Sensibility.
Oh, sensibility. I thought Jane Austen.
I know. I thought the same thing, but it's not.
And I realized, I said, Gavin, I'm afraid I left the sensibility at the door. I didn't bring it in with me. Well, no. What are we talking about here? And then I finally realized they were just saying that if we make an edit, and I can tell you right now that it was most of the edits had to do with I'm a concise guy. I mean, I'm looking for a way to say something with fewer words. Well, the editors were interested in kind of explaining, tying pieces together with what I would call redundancy. It isn't obviously redundancy. It's something that enhances the article. So they said, look, if we put something in there to kind of link this and you don't feel comfortable, you feel it's disingenuous, that's the sensibility thing. So that's how I learned what it was.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it was all good. So the shout out to those two. In addition to the fact, the show notes has got the link. City Creatures, Gavin was the author of a couple of books. His latest is a book on coyotes. It's not on coyotes. It's about urban creatures, but it's coyotes in a tile. You can Google that.
Also, his personal stories in there a little bit.
Yeah, it's sort of autobiographical.
He was raised by coyotes, as I recall.
I'd like to be able to use him as an editor again. So let's kind of keep it pretty close to what's the real Gavin. He's a serious guy.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. You know, I try.
Well, he's serious. He won't be listening. He's serious.
Yeah. Let's just say if he is listening, he stopped just because of you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to take the full hit for that.
Oh, man.
I just want to say that the whole staff is.
I shortened my brother's career.
My boss, Brooke Heck, was the first one to put a comment on it. She says, you know, it's important to have a comment because, you know, if you write enough, if you publish enough in a blog, you don't get comments. You know what happens? You end up going to the psychiatrist and talking about it if you don't get the comments.
Oh.
So she says, I want you to.
Well, by the way,
the
comments can cause the same problem, by the way.
Yeah, they can if the comments are kind of
incendiary. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Trolly.
So I got Brooke. The whole staff has been supportive, including Jeremy Olmos.
Jeremy.
Okay. Look, I know I have a little rivalry with them, and I gotta thank Jeremy because he's the one who gave me the motivation when he brought to my attention that I had not done anything in terms of contributing to this organization as a result of writing and putting an article together, because I'd been talking about a variety of subjects, and I finally said, you know what? I'm gonna stop this talk to talk. I'm gonna start walk the walk.
Ooh.
And Jeremy is the one who inspired me. And by the way, I will continue to be your research assistant, Jeremy. And by the way, I got you off the hook too, because Gavin's been asking for an article about pigeons, which you've been so delinquent in providing that I was able to come to the rescue and get a pigeon article in there, so that now the pressure's off you a little bit.
But did you call him a little bitch?
No. God bless.
I'm sorry. I think I misheard that.
Dear.
What did you say? What did you say?
I said I'm supportive, little bit. Not that much.
I think it sounded a lot like little bitch, but I'm going to let that go. Is that projection? Is that what they call that?
I don't have to worry about when I'm not going to get fired on Monday. You know why?
You're getting fired today.
No, I'm not going to get fired on Monday because it's a holiday. It's Columbus Day. Oh, and nobody will be there.
Yeah, as I recall, the Centers for Human Nature, they actually celebrate European holidays too, and African, and even Chinese.
Weather can get in the way. You can have a weather holiday too. It can be too nice, and all of a sudden, everybody has to work from home. It can be rainy or snow.
A drop.
The weather's too bad, I'm going to work from home.
The threat of bad weather.
Now, you know what?
Right?
Here's the deal with me.
What is the deal with you?
I'm not coming to work today. I'm at Wrigley. In fact, I could just say during the summer, I'm not coming to work this afternoon. And everybody looks at the baseball schedule and they know where I am.
They know. They don't even look anymore.
They don't have to look because they know. They know me. I've trained them well.
I think so.
Well, that's another subject. But
yeah, it is.
I really feel good about the article, and I feel it's great, and I look forward to, you know, I'm going to work with Gavin and hopefully come up with some other ideas. In fact, you know what happened? I told him about Jeffrey, and I got a little bit emotional, like a little bit rage, like you were talking about that range of emotion.
Yeah.
And Gavin says, "I feel an article."
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think you're going to be able to do it?
Yeah, I could.
You got something else in your hip pocket.
The bottom line is that it gives me, it does make me think about the fact that this is giving me a chance to take those two things that are so near and dear to me, that is mascots and animals, and basically bring them together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that would be hard to resist. Now, any other shout-outs that you needed to give?
Well, you know, we're always looking for ways to follow up and demonstrate that, you know, what we talk about is happening out there. And I think the one we got our next one is Universal Life Church. Hold on.
I wasn't asking about that.
Well, you just said.
No, I was asking if you had any shout-outs, any other shout-outs.
Oh, shout-outs.
About your article.
About my article.
And all the little people.
Well, how about you? You're a little person.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Really?
I wouldn't have thought of you except you said little people. And then I realized.
Oh, I'm your little brother who's slightly taller than you.
Yeah.
You lie about your height, though. I don't have to.
I don't lie about it. I'm shrunk. I tell the truth. I never said I was 6 feet. I was always 5'11 and that's 3/4.
Oh, bullshit. You weren't even close to. You were not even 5'11.
My first driver license said I was 5'6", okay?
I know.
And then I was just late in growing and growing up. Still working on that second one.
Well, physically you kind of have. And then, but let's face it.
Emotionally?
No way.
To be continued.
Oh, it's not. We're done. This is it.
Really?
We are immature. And, you know, you can't say someone's immature when they're in their 70s. I think what you have to say at this point is, that's all, folks.
Hey, you know, here's the deal. The deal is that I think I gained a sense of maturity sometime mm-hmm. in my life, and I can give credit to that to my wonderful wife. And since she's passed away, I'm a victim of regression.
Oh,
yes.
Well, first of all, let's. I hate to be this way, but I'm going to be that way.
First, you're always that way. So don't feel bad about it.
Oh, I don't feel bad. here's the deal, guys, boys and girls out there listening to this. My brother John is now using his wife, who is not here. He's using his wife to make this move, like, because of her, he actually matured, which, of course, we have no witness now. She's not here. She won't tell us yay or nay. And she's the only one, really, who can. Because John's not objective, let's face it.
In other words, you don't think my outward behavior changed. You weren't here to see enough of it to realize that I didn't have much choice.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's my violin? Where's my fucking little bitty violin? God,
hey, I'm
it.
Not using the death card here. I'm just letting you know that I was marching to the beat of a drummer, and that drummer happened to be my wife.
Okay. I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm in a good mood. So I will grant you a boon. This is a papal producer boon. I'm not going to pursue this, and I'm going to let it stand as is. Yes, okay. You have regressed. You have regressed. And otherwise,
here I am trying to thank you for the damn pitching article, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just take that damn thing off of the off the shelf, off the table.
What?
I'm not giving you credit.
Oh,
you have done too much. You basically have screwed it up.
Okay.
I had a chance to be nice to you.
You did.
And what do?
I screwed
it up.
You
just basically piss all over it.
I did. You're right. Okay. You're absolutely
right. Okay. So I don't think at this point, I'm sure I've forgotten somebody. And let me know. And if you don't, I'll assume that I forgot somebody anyway.
So. Yeah, you suck. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Universal Life Church. Odd that this comes up again because of a personal thing with you and a personal thing with me. And I'll talk about mine after you talk about yours, since I offended you already.
Okay, so the thing is that we've discussed last week the fact that what you need to do, rather than going try to find a minister, what you need to do is just look to your best friend and say, by the way, what you can do is you can be the one who officiates our wedding by becoming an ordained minister. And we gave the Universal Life Church, it's just a click away from basically being able to say the I do's and this and that, or ask for them. And sure enough, I talked about an example of that happened a couple of years ago. And little do I know that a good friend of mine, Jordan Halpern, is doing just yesterday did exactly what we said. It's like a follower of ours followed our advice. Don't know if it was before or after, but definitely this is not something that's a one-off. This is something we've got friends that are doing it and making it work and making marriages be much nicer because you're able to do it with the people, you know, rather than, you know, if you're not, you know, super religious, don't go to church. And obviously say, well, we'll have to rent a minister or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what you're basically doing, because what's happening is you go and the guy says, well, I'd like to do this, but, as he has his hand out,
we could use a
contribution to the church. And if you don't mind, make that check out to cash.
John, that's really cynical, man. That is really cynical. Oh, my God.
Okay. So the bottom line is...
Okay, back the truck up. Oh, my God.
Did I go beyond the bounds of decency here? Or do I need to continue?
Oh, that's right up there with the that's right up there with the pedophile Hall of Fame thing in the Cardinal House. That is so bad. I like the one, which is very sad too. So my item on this is very similar. Its cynicism plays into it. So I'm watching a movie last night with my wife, and sure enough, there's a wedding in the movie, and I won't say anything about it in case we want to talk about this movie later, John. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a wedding in the movie, and so two people are talking during the wedding. And going, why the woman says, why is the minister not wearing, you know, the frock and all that? He goes, because he's not a minister, really. And he says, what is he? And they went through the whole thing about becoming. They didn't say Universal Life thing.
Church,
they didn't say that. But it just, and plus they like took it another step further. They go, well, is you're gonna love this, John. This is the part I really like. So they're looking up there. These two characters in the movie are kibitzing while the ceremony's going on, and so then the guy says, "Is he wearing makeup? And the woman says, always. And he goes, what do you mean? He's pansexual. And then they get into this whole thing about he will fuck anybody. And they were like going back and forth about the most absurd gender and sexual orientation configurations you can think of. Like the last one was, so he would fuck a male to female transsexual who's gay, who's a lesbian. And he goes, oh yeah, for sure, in a blink. It was just so good. So yeah, so there's another example of this being in the thought bubbles around us. It's just chasing us.
It's around us. And I can say is that last week we did talk a little bit about accessories that you can get, the robes, the certificates,
oh, yes.
The baseball cap. And the thing is, oh,
the baseball cap. That's my favorite. That is my favorite. Oh,
that's the one. If somebody came up and they say, by the way, we'd like you to become an ordained minister and we want you to officiate the wedding. And I would say, look, it's a go as long as I can wear a baseball cap that says ULC on it. I'm in.
I just had a visual, John. Like I had a scene right in my head here. We're at the corner of the bar there at the Ale House, and somebody who you know, but not a close friend, comes in. I'm sitting beside you on a stool, and the guy says, oh, look, John, I know you and your brother talked about this Universal Life Church thing, and, you know, we were thinking about doing that. Is that something you'd feel comfortable doing? And then, like, without even answering him, you know, you give me one of those little side things that Pop used to do, you know, yeah. Bam. And you go, put the hat on. and so
then
I put the fucking cap on, you know, the baseball cap for the Universal Life Church. I put it on, and then you go, I can't do it, but my brother can.
And, yeah. Hey, one other thing I want to mention in terms of Jordan. I thought when I first heard that Jordan was going to – he's officiating this marriage, by the way, in Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay. So – you know, we're not going to go through all the stuff that you have to do, but I thought that Jordan doing the officiating was a deal breaker. And then I realized this really demonstrates how broad this whole thing is for you to do it, to qualify. Jordan is Jewish.
Oh.
And he still feels comfortable becoming the ordained minister. In other words, I said, well, gee, do they have a category that's called ordained rabbi?
Why not?
But no. This is the umbrella, the population, the potential population of ministers out there stretches beyond the bounds of specific religions, which I think is important to note.
Well, that's part of the attraction. It's part of the attraction for you and I. Yeah. Okay. I like this. I like where this has been going. So
yes, and hopefully we'll be able to in the future cite other people and how and hopefully we will not have to talk about any divorces as a result of this.
No, we won't talk about that. No, we want to. You know, we are gonna keep our batting averages, aren't we? Probably so. All right, look, let me tee this one up for you, John. Okay. First of all, this is going to sound a little awkward at first, but there's gold and then there are hills. That's my bottom line here. So, first of all, we really couldn't think of a topic this week. So, full disclosure. But, you know, sometimes greatness comes and you cannot say where or how it's going to come.
Yeah.
Because here's what happened. I got the title of the anchor topic before we actually got a topic.
Yeah.
And it happens that way. Like, you know, Yesterday by the Beatles, Paul McCartney, when he first wrote that, you know what the name of it was, John?
No, I don't. I can hardly wait to hear it.
Scrambled Eggs.
I like Scrambled Eggs.
I do too. But that was the name of the song.
Because
he couldn't think of the words, but he had the tune. So he just did a little filler there. So this is kind of the same deal here. So the name of our anchor topic today is Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, the name of a rock and roll band based on a much older song that is famous for the fact that it was in a Magical Mystery Tour movie that no one saw, made by the Beatles.
Hmm.
So that's the deal. And that's so that now, okay, so I had to make a call. I am the papal producer. And so I pretty much really worked John over in the earlier segments. I think everyone will agree. And even I feel bad sometimes. Even the papal producer feels bad. So I felt bad about this just now. So I have decided to turn this segment over to John and let him talk about, let's have a drum roll, baseball.
Ooh, listen, I'm going to have to take a hit of this bulletproof cold brew before I do.
My brother is warming up for his segment. He's on deck. He's in the batter's circle. Yeah.
This stuff has lasted over a month, and it still hasn't spoiled.
It's because there's no shit in it.
That's good. You're right. It doesn't have to have preservatives.
No.
Okay, so here we are today.
Hold on. I'm going to lie down. Go ahead.
So you can fall asleep?
I didn't say that.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear any snoring, by the way.
Okay.
We're in the midst of the what's called the MLB. That stands for Major League Baseball.
God bless!
This is the exciting part of the baseball season. And MLB season. This is where you are on the edge of your seat. You're just glued to the TV watching these wonderful games.
Yes.
So I've been asked to have to this daunting task of explaining and what's going on.
Okay.
And that's very challenging for me because I really don't care that much for the postseason.
Yeah, I know. This is the most amazing thing about this is my brother, who's known everywhere as Baseball John, and most people just call him Baseball.
Yeah.
My brother BBJ, John.
Whatever.
Whatever, BBJ. Here's the thing. We all know how he feels about baseball. It is his spiritual path. And yet, the postseason is not something he likes. You don't even like it.
Here, it's something which I tried to understand. And finally, when I read that book, Baseball is a Road to God. And I can give you an analogy. And here it is.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, what happens?
Beer,
green river, act like idiots. Okay.
We do that year round.
Well, you know what I mean. Alcohol-infused bigger idiots.
Ah, yes.
Okay. So, what is St. Patrick's Day?
Good question.
It's a religious holiday. Mm. And you know the only reason that it got alcohol-infused is because it's Irish. The middle of Lent. And they said, by the way, we're going to give you a reprieve. One day during Lent, you're going to be able to drink. And guess what? It's like all these Irishmen, what do? They say, well, we got catch up. We got to catch up for all the days we weren't able to drink. So we're going to drink enough for the whole period before St. Patrick's Day. That's Lent.
Did you say they invented ketchup?
Ketchup. No.
You said they got a ketchup.
Ketchup.
What?
Yeah, you know, make up for the days that they weren't drinking.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So here I am. Baseball. I feel baseball is serious. And what happens is all of a sudden...
It's serious, but not solemn.
Well, I guess. I don't know about that.
I don't think it's solemn. I don't see you solemn. I see you serious.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Wow.
I'll let you judge
that. I'll be the judge.
Okay, you're the judge. You're from the judge. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line, is that I feel that the regular season is when I can thoroughly enjoy what's going on. And here, what we got going is that it kind of destroys it for me. So what do? Thursday night, do I watch baseball? No, I go see a play. Okay. So that's basically where I'm coming from on this.
Okay. All right. It's fully teed up now. So you've got 10 minutes.
Okay. Here's what goes on. The postseason, after 162 games, we decide we're going to have this second season called the MLB postseason. And quite often in this year, what happened, after 162 games, we had a couple of we had four teams that they were tied for their division. So as a result, they had what they call these tiebreakers, which are part of it. And I only mention this because one of them is the Chicago Cubs. And the Cubs ended up being a part of the, you know, of this exercise, and they basically fell by the wayside.
Hey, Mary Jane, can you make me serve more coffee? I'm falling asleep.
Wow.
Thank you.
Ooh. So, as a result of that, we had the Cubs were, I don't know what to say here. They ended up being the wild cards rather than the division leaders. And so out of all this exercise, we end up with these wild cards are teams that they want to have come in, but they had good records, but weren't good enough to win their divisions. So now what we have is we are in the midst of what's called the division championships. So we have the various teams working on it would be the Yankees versus the Red Sox and the Astros versus the Indians and the Rocks versus the Brewers and the Dodgers versus the Braves. Just a bunch of baseball teams that nobody really gives a shit about.
Attitude.
Yeah, I know. Because
is that for real? Is that for
real? Yeah, because my team's not in there.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you had coping mechanisms that allowed you to endure shitty teams.
Yeah, that's another whole thing.
That didn't work. Didn't work, did it? No, didn't work.
I tried, though.
Okay. All right, all right. Good to know.
So.
Go ahead, carry on. I'll be right back.
So, the bottom line is that we're in the midst of it. Yesterday, there were actually four games. So, if you really wanted to avoid baseball, yesterday was a good day to do it. You can avoid four games. Because today you can only avoid two. So we're going to end up at this point where everything's kind of going the way people would predict it. The Red Sox, which are the best team in the major leagues, have won a game against the Yankees, and the Astros have beaten the Indians. And the Brewers, which are my team, to win the whole thing, my prediction, have won two games and in their series against the Rockies. And we got the Dodgers with Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. Adding to his legacy, beating the Braves, and it'll continue on for another, you can fall asleep easily for the next 2 weeks if you continue to pursue this, and we'll eventually get to the World Series. And if that wasn't enough for you, I've got a recommended website called MLB Postseason, which a lot of people don't like to have like a graphic thing that's got good brackets. Ooh, does it have brackets? Ooh, good brackets.
Oh, talk to me about brackets. And by the way, you're now ahead of schedule, fucker. So you got to talk some more about this shit.
So I got to be pedantic?
No, you have to be cheerful and entertaining, as always. Wait a minute, that's a lie. God damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Do the best you can.
I'll try.
I'm your brother. I love you.
So I would say that out of all of this, why do I think that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to come out of this? By the way, they ended up with the best record in the National League as a result of beating the Cubs in the tiebreaker. Why do I feel that they're going to win? Because they're a team of destiny.
They are.
There's a couple of events that took place as they reached, as they got into the postseason. They had a game in which I've seen baseball games work. A fielder goes back, an outfielder to catch a ball. It hits his glove and bounces over the fence. That's a home run. Okay, it's a fielding assisted home run.
I love that. That's so funny.
So what happens with this one was it didn't hit his glove. What happens is he reached over the fielder to get it on the wall. His hand is on top of the wall. His glove, he squeezes it, and it's like ketchup coming out of a bottle. It goes along.
Ketchup.
The top of the
wall. Invented by the Irish.
And there goes kerplunk on the other side.
Invented by the Irish. Ketchup.
Yeah, the same thing.
Okay, good.
So then we had another game in which the Milwaukee Brewers are playing my team, the Cardinals, and a guy rounds third base. He's got a lock to score. He falls flat on his face. So these two incidents are the kind of things that these are the things
only lights that you see in this darkness called postseason.
Yeah. Don't look for me. If somebody says to me, by the way, who do you think is going to win? I'm going to tell them.
Forget
based
about
upon,
it.
Yeah, forget that. I'm not going to look at numbers. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
So
you,
look
you know
for
what you
these
say.
Little hidden gems.
You say, you want to know who's going to win? Call my brother Jerry. He knows nothing about baseball.
And he'll give you a better answer.
Yeah, because, you know, this is all just pull it out of your ass anyway. I have to say, John, during the last part of your dissertation, during which I was present, I actually had a really pretty strong hot flash. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Is that a good reaction or bad reaction?
I don't know.
Discourse. I don't either. So this is an interactive show with the audience. So audience, if you have thoughts about that, please feel free to write us and give us your opinion on that. And of course, we have the famous movie critic who actually has decided to do critical reviews of our podcast, and that would be Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
She does these, so I'm counting on her to. She does a great job too, by the way, John. I think, don't you?
Yeah, great job. I agree. And I mean, you
flash them sometimes in the bars, I've heard, or is that something else? Okay. So anyway, the point is, Bonnie, have at it. You know, in your notes, way in there on the pop flash. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go right ahead, John.
I think that's about as much as we need to really talk about the postseason. I don't feel comfortable talking about it, really.
Wow.
I'm a snob. I'm an elitist.
I wouldn't call you that. Not in this case. You have other reasons to be called a snob, but you're a diploma snob. I will say that.
Yeah, I am. I
will agree with.
I place way too much weight and value upon a person, you know, getting a college degree.
But,
and then once they get the degree, I then take a hard look at where they got the degree from. And then I think about, you know, other people that went there or the kind of school. And it's pretty disgusting.
It's a nightmare.
It's pretty bad.
It is. But here's the thing, Doug. If you know that, then that kind of seems like maybe you're not an elitist because you're aware of this behavior. And well, you're trying to say, I'm a diploma elitist. Hi, my name's John. I'm a diploma elitist. Is that kind of what you're talking about there?
Yeah, but the fact that you know that you're something doesn't keep you from being it. For
no,
example,
it doesn't. You're right. Not if you're a Daniels.
Yeah, I asked somebody a question. I said, you know what? I'm naive, I think. But if I know I'm naive, can I be naive? And somebody says, you're naive.
Exactly.
Because it's going to, you know why? Because it's going to come, naivety is going to come and bite you in the butt.
Oh, yeah. That's inescapable. I agree with you. But I do not think that you're an elitist because of your point of view on the baseball postseason. Okay. I'm going to take a stand, and I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for the truth.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. It's about the truth. And the truth is that that's just the way you see it. You are a true believer in baseball, and part of your true belief is that this postseason stuff is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? That's not being elitist. I think it's honest. I'm sorry.
I believe that a postseason doesn't decide who's the best team in baseball. It's decided by the 162 game schedule. The Red Sox had the best record by far of any team, and as
they're going to win anyway,
they could. You know that. And they could win this postseason, but it's a separate. It's like they say in basketball, second season NCAA. You know.
Well, that's true. They have so many fucking games; it makes your head spin. They've even got brackets. When you hear the word brackets, then you know.
Yeah.
Then you've got like a gazillion games. You've got a second season. You've got an alternate reality. It's not even a second season. It's like another sport.
It is.
I mean, basketball. Well, it's professional. I'm just going to say, not a lot. There's a lot of time. There's no basketball being played on those courts during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing things like tanking and stat stuffing and all kinds of shit. And then suddenly it's the playoffs. Oh, then they show up. Don't get me started. Okay.
Okay,
John.
So that's enough, I think, on baseball.
Okay, let's talk about the beer maker. Now, you did.
Oh.
I found it, but you really discovered it.
Well,
disclaimer, this is not a real product yet.
In addition to the fact it is being financed through Go, what's it called? The website. You know, it's not a fund me thing, or
it's not GoFundMe. It's the other goddamn site. It's the original one that they I don't know. Just click the link, right?
Click the link. Yeah.
Click the link. This is okay, so we have to think about this.
What the heck?
Okay. You did. I just saw it right now on the show notes.
Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Sorry. I got a little carried away. It's been emotional. This has been an emotional show for me.
So here's the thing. The thing with this beer maker, what it's done is it's basically made the homebrew, taken a step up, making it easier, and also making it so it's kind of without a mess. It's like idiot-proof practically.
Yeah, it is.
The process. But in the same regard, it's kind of made it sophisticated.
Yeah.
So I think it's about $500 is what it costs to get the apparatus. But you do it. It's all one step. I mean, you take the stuff, you put it in.
Boy, is it one step. It's really one step. Yeah. I mean, I don't like beer, but I really can't keep my eyes off of this site. And I want to make beer, but I will never drink it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how cool this is. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So as a result, you did a great job of describing it to me. And that's what you did. You got me hooked on looking at it. It's a very, very I would just recommend. It's
go to
a very
the site.
Polished production they do with respect to the little film.
Animations.
Animation.
All kind. Yeah, they have film all too, though. Yeah.
The other thing is that I thought, well, even though the product isn't out yet, what is the beer industry or the beer geeks? View of it, and it's cautious optimism. I mean, they feel really it's got a lot of potential, and so they're looking forward to seeing what the end product is. Now, this is something which there's been a lot of tests done with it, so they feel confident what they're trying to accomplish. And here's, I think, a little bit of the caveat that goes with it is the problem that you run into here is that you make it so easy that it's so standardized. Are we all going to? There's 12 beers. That you can get packages that they're talking about. So number one, there's at the front end some limitation as to the product, the standardized products that they're going to give. Whether you maybe get an IPA, you know, get yourself a Scottish ale or whatever.
All
these different types.
They got so you can craft it,
but that's where I'm going.
Prepackaged,
with it. But
pre-packaged.
They got the prepackaged stuff, and then there's so that you've got. And obviously that the person, once they get this down, they're going to say, well, look, you know, I'd like to make something a little more customized. So they talk in the thing about what you can do is you can take the prepackage and you can add a few ingredients to it, such as fruit, to maybe that way. But then the next step you got to say is, look, I want from scratch my own beer. And that's the piece is that's going to be the challenge as they make that step. So there's two things they really got to do to demonstrate. One is to make a lot of different more standard packages.
Mm-hmm.
And
agreed.
Two, then be able to make it so that it's going to be easy for the customized. So does that mean that what we do is we basically take orders based upon the mixes they want? Or do we set it up so they buy their materials? You know, I think there's a few of these pieces that still...
Yeah.
Need to be worked out.
TBD, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I like this a lot, and there's a fine point here. And the thing is that this is a very black box kind of product. In other words, you can't dick around with what's inside the black box very much.
Right.
And that's both its saving grace and the thing that will give it legs, but that may not be its legacy. In the future, there may be people who just do videotapes on how to fuck with this formula and get some really cool beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best possible thing that could happen. You know, by the way, John, did you know, this is an interesting fact, 40% of the streaming that happened a year and a half ago, streaming, like video streaming, 40% of it a year and a half ago was people watching other people play games, video games. It's called Twitch. That's the name of the service. And so I'm saying the same thing could happen here, that the real thing becomes how to tweak this thing and make it do things it's not supposed to do. Just like some of those coffee makers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the same phenomenon. So this could really go places. I'm enamored of it. I'm very excited about it. And just a little taste here for people. Here's the coolest thing that I saw on that site. And then weigh in, John, if you want to, what you think too. I thought the coolest thing was they show the process of putting this stuff in a bag, a plastic see-through bag. And by the way, it took a lot of resistance for me not to think about the bag that I urinated
to.
Oh,
God, yeah. Okay.
Because it was yellow. And
yeah,
you know
yeah.
I'm going,
oh, God.
Same shape.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, anyway, they put this thing into a box, but it's a really good-looking plastic box with a cool lid and everything. They clamp it down, and it shows that there's some kind of heating and environment control that this will ferment, which is really cool. Then they show, you know, tick, 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 tock, tick, tock. Later, they take the bag out of there, and they put it into another box that has these, and that it just barely fits in there. It's real tight and everything, and then there's this little thing, and they put a CO2 cartridge on this little pipe, this little tube coming out of the bag.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, wait a minute. CO2, they're pressurizing the beer. Beer on tap, oh, fuck. And then they close it, they put it in the refrigerator. And now, come on, get your beer, guys.
Mm.
Wow. That's powerful for me. Powerful because you and I had a keg, draft beer keg, right next to our bathroom. And every time in the morning when we went in to take our shower, we had beer on tap there. And I would wash my hair. But as I went into the bathroom, I would take a cup and draw some beer. And I'd use beer to rinse my hair. So this would be perfect for me.
Yeah.
Perfect for me.
Yeah, you'd have a lifetime of shampoo there.
Well, I'm pretty excited about this. Like I said, I don't drink beer. I shouldn't say that. I can't drink beer. Okay. I'm just being honest. But John, I have a big surprise for you now.
What?
You ready?
Yeah.
We're 61 minutes and 45 seconds into the show.
Yep.
Now is the time when we do groaners, and I've got both groaners today.
I'm impressed. I would just like to say one other thing before we go to that. And, you know, we have all these different days in terms of, like, Donut Day and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that are promoted. And actually, October 6th is a special day. It's World Ostomy Day. So I thought I'd give a little. There's a lot of events out there, you know, with respect to people that wear ostomy bags. And since you mentioned your bag, and I wore an ostomy bag for a while, I figured I needed equal opportunity here.
Bag boys, what you gonna do?
So there's events out there. There's runs. There's triathlons.
Just wanted to mention that. I like it. I like it a lot.
So it's World Ostomy Day.
I'm very happy.
Listen, I'm ready. Now I'm going to be put on the spot because you're going to give the groaners and I got to try to come up with the answers.
One is a real groaner, which is the second one. But the first one is a funny story groaner.
Oh, okay.
You'll like this.
Okay.
Trust me. This is a joke our father used to do. And it was both his funniest joke and his worst joke.
Okay.
Because he couldn't tell it right because we were kids.
Hmm.
All right, here's the joke. What is the meanest animal in the world?
Meanest animal in the world. I don't know. What is it?
The hippogator.
The hippogator.
It's got the head of a hippopotamus on one end and the head of an alligator on the other end.
How can it go to the bathroom?
It can't. That's what makes it so mean.
Oh, God. I fell for it. I can't help it. Oh, dear.
Let me tell you the two bad things about this joke. Number one, he couldn't say shit. Mom wouldn't let him say shit.
Mm.
Or fuck. But he found a way to say both of them, by the way. But anyways, that's another story. But because of that, it took a lot of pizzazz out of it. But the other part is you've got to have a straight man to do that joke, which my brother was. Thank you, John.
And I was able to say, go to the bathroom.
See, he did it just like Pop did it.
In other words, this is a good example of something in my childhood that I forgot. But now you've been able to let me relive, and I want to thank you for that, okay?
You're welcome, because I know you've got a lot of damage. I mean, blocks in there. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, now you ready for the real groaner?
The real deal, okay.
Here we go. Let me get warmed up here a little bit. Okay. John, what do you get when you cross a rhinoceros with an elephant?
What do you get?
L-R-I-N-O.
That's good.
L-R-I-N-O.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's...
Wow. Okay, that's enough.
I think that's, I think we better stop while you're... I wouldn't call ahead, but I guess that's what we'll have to say.
Wherever we are. Yeah, say goodnight, Greg.
Okay, so long. Bye. Farewell.